ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो टू एंटाइटल्ड द कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन चैप्टर नंबर वन एंटाइटल्ड द फर्स्ट स्टेप इन गॉड रियलाइजेशन टेक्स्ट नंबर 37। गो टू अवर ट्रांसलेशंस। ब्रह्मा द ब्राह्मणस आननम द फेस क्षत्र द क्षत्रियस भुज द आर्म्स महात्मा द विराट पुरुष वेट द वैश्यस ऊरुहु द थाइस अंग्रीषित अंडर द प्रोटेक्शन ऑफ हिज फीट कृष्ण वर्ण द शूद्रस नाना वेरियस अभिधा बाय नेम्स अभिज्य गण द डेमिगॉड उपपन्नः बीइंग ओवरटेकन द्रव्य आत्मकः विथ फिजिबल गुड्स कर्म एक्टिविटी वितान योगः परफॉर्मेंसेस ऑफ सैक्रिफाइस। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. The Virat Purusha's face is the Brahmanas. His arms are the Kshatriyas. His thighs are the Vaishyas. And the Shudras are under the protection of his feet. All the worshipable demigods are also overtaken by him. And it is the duty of everyone to perform sacrifices with feasible goods to appease the Lord. Translation, please repeat. The Virat Purusha's face is the Brahmanas. His arms are the Kshatriyas. His thighs are the Vaishyas. And the Shudras are under the protection of his feet. All the worshipable demigods are also overtaken by him. And it is the duty of everyone to perform sacrifices with feasible goods to appease the Lord. Purport. Monotheism is practically suggested here. Offering sacrifices to many demigods under different names is mentioned in the Vedic literatures. But the suggestion made in this verse is that all those varieties of demigods are included in the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are only the parts and parcels of the original whole. Similarly, the divisions of the orders of human society, namely the Brahmanas, the intelligent class, the Kshatriyas, the administrators, the Vaishyas, the mercantile community, and the Shudras, the laborer class, are all included in the body of the Supreme. As such, sacrifice by every one of them in terms of pleasing the Supreme by physical goods is recommended. Generally, the sacrifice is offered with clarified butter and grains. But with the progress of time, human society has produced varieties of goods by transforming materials supplied by God's material nature. Human society, therefore, must learn to offer sacrifices not only with clarified butter, but also with other manufactured goods in the propagation of the Lord's glory. And that will bring about perfection in human society. The intelligent class of men or Brahmanas may give direction for such sacrifices in consultation with the previous Acharyas. The administrators may give all facilities to perform such sacrifices. The Vaishya class or mercantile community who produce such goods may offer them for sacrifice. And the Shudra class may offer their manual labor for the successful termination of such sacrifice. Thus, by the cooperation of all classes of human beings, the sacrifice recommended in this age, namely the sacrifice of congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, may be executed for the common welfare of all the people of the world. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalapaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinakaranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we continue this discussion between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukdev Goswami. This question and answer session is very relishable for all of us to discuss. So in first canto, at the end we saw that how Parikshit Maharaj asked this question about the highest duty of a human being. And in reply, Shukdev Goswami stated that constant chanting and hearing of the names of Lord is the highest process. And then further he describes the universal form of the Lord. In further two chapters we will see that how he takes discussion further from the first step to the last step. So this first chapter is entitled The First Step in God Realization. So Shukdev Goswami recommends that we can start with focusing on the universal form of the Lord. Although this is not the highest, but everyone has to begin somewhere. So that's why it is called the first step in God realization. And then further he will discuss the form of Lord as Paramatma, the super soul, Lord in the heart. And then he will also discuss about demigod worship. And then finally he will come to this ultimate process of devotional service. And there in third chapter, Shukdev Goswami will mention this verse, Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Dharati Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purushamparam. So the highest process of self-realization and the fastest method to reach the Supreme Lord is devotional service, Bhakti Yoga. And it is recommended in this verse that we just discussed that tivrena bhakti yogena. So with the force, if we follow this process, tivra, tivra means with a great force, if we just apply these principles of bhakti yoga, then we can very quickly attain the lotus feet of Lord. So in Bhagavad Gita also we see this discussion is there. 11th chapter mentions about the universal form of Lord, and then further in the next chapter devotional service is discussed as the final goal of all processes. So how did the discussion of universal form begin in Bhagavad Gita? We see in 10th chapter, first the Chatushloki Bhagavatam is described, and Arjuna there asked that he wanted to know that how he can think about Lord and remember him always by seeing various phenomena in this material world. So there, Krishna listed many vibhutis or his opulences that we can easily observe in this material nature. So he said, I'm, you know, as great, as stable as a mountain, as Himalayas, and amongst fish I'm sharks. So he wants to help us to see the greatness of his personality. So by seeing these features, we can understand that Lord is present everywhere and how He is very great. So people say God is great, but how He is great is described in that chapter. And He ends that discussion with stating the last verse of 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There He says, Atva bahunaitena kim jyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyamaham idam krishnam ekanshena sthito jagat. So He says that what is the need of this elaborate discussion, description, you know, just by my mere fragment, this whole universe is supported. Ekanshena sthito jagat, this whole universe, this jagat, it just, it expands from just a mere small fragment of Lord's whole totality, His whole creation. This universe is just a tiny part. So then in the beginning of 11th chapter, Arjuna he requests Krishna that I want to see this universal form of yours, this expansive universal form. You are saying this is just your mere just fragment, but I want to see it. So then Krishna provides him with a special divine vision, and then Krishna displays His Virat Rupa. So there in the Virat Rupa, first Arjuna sees that how it is immeasurable and the whole existence is present at one place and how it is very radiant. And then further he sees another feature of this Virat Rupa, which is Kala Rupa. He sees that how everything is being smashed by the teeth of these innumerable mouths of the Lord. So when he sees this Kala Rupa, he becomes frightened. And then it is mentioned that he says that this form of yours, this Rupa, is ghoram. Rupam ghoram. So ghoram means horrible or ghastly. So he becomes very afraid. And then he requests Lord to see His original form. And then Krishna displays His four-armed form, and then further His original two-armed form. And then it's mentioned that Krishna's two-armed form is very beautiful. Drisht vedam manusham rupam tams tab somyam janardana. So somyam is very beautiful. So this is the contrast between the universal form of Lord and the two-armed Shyama Sundar form. So one is very ghoram and one is somyam. So that's why then he was pacified and he regained the composure of his mind. So we see that although Lord has so many forms, but we can choose which form to see. So there is nothing in this creation apart from Krishna or His energies. So that's why Prabhupada used to say that everyone sees Krishna. Whether you voluntarily try to follow this process of bhakti and see his beautiful form, or involuntarily, Krishna will come in his form as Kala Rupa, as death. Then you would have to see. Whether you want it or not, you would have to see. No one can refuse death. So this is our choice. So that's why we have these facilities throughout the world. Especially we see how ISKCON is building many temples and providing these facilities to all people so that they can see this beautiful form of Lord, this Soumyam Rupa. So in Mayapur we see they are building this temple of Vedic planetarium. So there they will have this universal form also, this planet, different planets and how they are arranged in this universe. And then also they will have the beautiful Shyam Sundar form, Radha of Radha, Madhav, Panchatattva, they will have this beautiful form. So they will have the first step also there and the last step also there. So people can come and they can start with, you know, analyzing this whole universe. And then they can also see Radha Madhav and take their shelter. So this Shyam Sundar form of Lord is very attractive. Yam Shyam Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tam Aham Bhajami. So we want to take shelter of this form rather than this universal form. So we have here also we have this Shyam Sundar form of Vallabha, Radha Vallabha. But we cannot appreciate it because it's not revealed to us fully as yet. We see a stone figure standing there in three bent form. So we may say, you know, Krishna hasn't revealed himself to us, his beauty, his beautiful Shyam Sundar form. And I'm still attracted to things in this material world, to this universal form. There are things in this world which attract me. There are so many other forms which attract me. So I'm not attracted fully. If Krishna reveals to me, maybe just winks at me or moves his face a little bit, I just need a little bit indication that he is the original form. This Archa Vigra is non-different from the Para form, the original Navayogna Krishna, the Shyam Sundara form, as in Golok Vrindavan. If he gives me an indication, then I will believe. So because Krishna is not revealing, so that's why I'm attracted to other forms in this material world. So this process of bhakti is meant for that ultimate purpose, that Krishna will reveal it to us. But we have to know the tricks, that how Krishna will reveal. So we have our case, everyone has their own life and we have so many things to deal with. So our case is presented to Krishna, but someone needs to recommend. Someone has to, there is a file, your recommendation letter is in a file, and someone has to recommend you to Krishna. So who is the personality who recommends us to Krishna? Sorry? Yes, but just immediate to Krishna, who is Radharani? Yes, of course, you are right. And so when Radharani is pleased, she would recommend us to Krishna. And she would say, oh, this is a devotee, he is better than me, please give him mercy. But who will recommend us to Radharani? Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, if you please Nityananda Prabhu, then he will recommend you to Radharani. And who will recommend us to Nityananda Prabhu? Is the six Goswamis. So if we please the six Goswamis, they will recommend us to Nityananda. So that's how our file is going, our case file is going up and up to Krishna, so that he can reveal. And who will recommend us to six Goswamis? Sorry? Yes, Acharyas. And for us, as you said, Acharya for us, all ISKCON devotees are Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. So he's our main captain, he's the Senapati Guru. So our immediate case officer may be our spiritual master, and if we please him, then he would recommend us to Srila Prabhupada, and then further our file will go. So this is, everyone should know how things work. So, and how will spiritual master be pleased? If we are serving all the devotees around us, so everyone will be happy with us, and they will recommend us to our spiritual master. So that's the difference between a Kanishta and a Madhyama Adhikari. A Madhyama Adhikari understands this process, that how my file will go further. But a Kanishta Adhikari, he comes straight, "Oh Krishna, I'm your devotee. This is my file." So Krishna says it doesn't work like this. It has to get attested through the whole chain. So we have to understand this, and then Krishna will reveal it to us. So here, Krishna has given this process, that what is the process you follow so that you can be the recipient of this mercy. So in this today's verse, we see how these different varnas are mentioned. So if we follow this varnashram process nicely, then we can purify ourselves. So according to different modes of nature, these different social classes are there. So everyone is under the grip of these three modes of nature. And different modes act differently. Someone is, you know, more in mode of goodness, someone is more in passion or more in ignorance. So to various degrees, we are affected by these modes. And accordingly, if we act according to that position, then we can be purified. So that's why this, it's very important to understand that how this varnashram system works. So in this varnashram system, the main goal, as Prabhupada also mentions in his purport, the main goal is to please Krishna. So previously there used to be sacrifices, big yagyas with lot of ghee and other items. But Prabhupada says in this day and age, the yagya is sankirtan yagya. And whatever class we belong to, the intelligent class, or we have the managerial skills, or we are like vaishyas, business minded, or we can do some labor for Krishna, somehow or the other, if we cooperate with others, classes, we can please Krishna. And that is the ultimate goal of this varnashram system. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, it is said, "Ataha pumbit dvija shreshta varnashrama vibhagasha swanushti tasya dharmasya sam siddhir hari toshna." So all these efforts to follow varnashram is aimed at pleasing Krishna. Sam siddhir. Siddhi means perfection. Sam siddhi means the highest perfection. So what is the highest perfection? Hari toshanam. So we have to satisfy and please Krishna, Hari. So then it's reasonable that we are following varnashram. Just varnashram in itself is a material system. But when we follow it to please Krishna, then it has some meaning. So just being a brahmachari, or just being a grahastha, or you know, just being a manager, it's not enough. The goal of all this is to please Krishna. Sam siddhir hari toshanam. So if we do that, then we can go forward. So in this world, we see, why is this varnashram system established by Krishna? Because there are two processes. One is called pravritti marg, and one is called nivritti marg. So pravritti marg means we want to enjoy in this material world, within this universal form. So we want to elevate. So people do various pious activities, they can be elevated to heavenly planets. And then another one is nivritti marg, in which we understand that this material world is entangling and we have to become liberated. So that's the goal of nivritti marg. So for all devotees, basically, we have to understand that we need to follow this nivritti marg. We don't have to get attached to this material world, and we don't have to get distracted This material world is very distracting. It will distract us from our main goal. So we have to be very cautious at every moment. At no moment we can be relaxed. It's like a war against Maya. And Maya is trying to entice us. In Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, we have this story of Daksha and Narada. So Daksha is basically, he's expert in producing children. That's why his name is Daksha. So he is the emblem of Pravritti Man. And Narada is the emblem of Nivritti Man. So there, Daksha, he's one of the Prajapati, and his one time he produced 10,000 sons, Hariyashvas. And this Varnashram system is so beautiful actually. Even Daksha, he understood that all my sons, he wanted them to produce more children. But before that, he told them that you go to Narayan sir and do some tapasya, meditation, some austerities, and then you produce children. So that's why we have this different ashram system, you know, brahmachari ashram, grahastha ashram. So it's very important for everyone actually to follow some sort of austerity before entering into grahastha ashram, because then it becomes very entangling. But if someone has some training beforehand in austerity, then one can lead a very good grahastha life. And then further is vanaprastha and sannyas. So Daksha also, although he is an emblem of Pravritti Man, he understood this. So he sent all his 10,000 sons to do this meditation and tapasya. And all these sons went there. So they were very austere and very focused. And Narad Muni was present there. So he saw all these 10,000 sons of Daksha. And he thought, oh, these are very nice boys. And they like to do austerity, meditation. So they don't need to enter grahastha ashram. So he preached to them. So he gave them an analogy, different. There is a city, there is a river which flows in two directions. He kind of played with their intelligence first. So as we see in our preaching, when we do, for example, urban yoga or Melbourne preaching, they don't directly, you know, open Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and just, okay, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. First they have to just, because youth has this intelligence, it has to be used and churned a little bit. So they say, okay, mind control, stress management, and you know, something balanced the life. And then later on, you know, the main thing comes. So same way Narad, so this all is coming from Narad Muni and other preachers actually. So Narad Muni, how he preached to Hariyashvas, is he gave them an analogy. And then he said, you know, you just continue what you are doing. You don't need to go back. And then this news reached Daksha. He became very angry that how my sons are being converted to brahmacharis. So he further produced 1,000 sons, Shabalashvas. And although he knew that Narad Muni is present at Narayan Sar, he again sent all these 1,000 sons there. He understood that this is very important for them first to control their body, mind, and do these austerities. So he again sent them there, and Narad Muni again saw that, oh, there's another 1,000 very nice boys. And so to them he just said, see, you have these elder brothers, see what they are doing, just follow their footsteps. And they said okay, and then they also didn't go back. And when Daksha came to know about this, he was very angry and he cursed Narad Muni that you won't be able to live in one home. Because Daksha was so attached to his house, so he thought this will be a great curse that you won't get a house. But Narad Muni was very happy. He said, okay, no problem, I accept this curse. He wants to travel and preach anyway. He doesn't want to stay in a house forever. So he was happy, he accepted that. So that's why from this story we have to understand that Nivritti Marg is very important. Whichever position, whichever varna or ashram we may be situated in, ultimately we have to understand, we have to get out of this material situation and take shelter of Lord fully. So Srila Prabhupada, he actually one time he observed his disciples and he commented that 75% of my disciples are going to go to heavenly planets and 25% will go to back to Godhead. So he observed that what was the consciousness level. So at present it may be different. Maybe 90% are going to heavenly planets. So in Bhagavad Gita we say all these proofs are in front of us and it's our choice. So Bhagavad Gita says, Prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashvati sama shuchi naam shrimatam vehe yoga brashto vijayate. So yoga brashta, one who has done little advancement. So he goes to heavenly planets first. So if we are just attracted to this universal form and we want to enjoy here, so yes, that facility is there. But if we want to really become pure and go back to Godhead, then for that the process is very simple, but it's tough. It's tough in a sense to do it year after year, month after month, you know, for whole life. Just to do this simple process, it's very tough to apply that. We become distracted. So that's why it's very important to hear Srimad Bhagavatam daily, so that we can be reminded about this real goal. So if we are distracted, then we are going to go to heavenly planets. And then so many thousands of years we may remain there. So we don't want to waste time. So Prabhupada said, this lifetime you should just chant minimum 16 rounds, follow these four regulatory principles nicely, and then go back to Godhead. So we want to come in that percentage which is going back to Godhead. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, he's the Lord of those who are materially impoverished. That those who do not have material possessions, so Lord Chaitanya is very dear to them. So this has a very deep meaning actually. What does it mean not to have any material possession? So as we know, in this material world everyone is conditioned. So we are in a very helpless situation. And in this conditioned situation, we try to take shelter of so many material things. But Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport that ultimately at death, nothing, no material thing can save us. Our friendship, society, family, wealth, nothing will be able to save us. What will save us is our attachment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna. That will save us. So the word used there is akinchana. So akinchana means one who doesn't have any material possession. So basically the definition is that one is not taking, not putting faith in material possessions. He may have, he may possess those different material items, material relationships, but one doesn't take shelter in them. So that is the meaning of akinchana. And Kunti Maharani also in 8th chapter of 1st canto, she mentions that Janma Aishwarya Shuta Shribir Ed Mana Madha Puman Naiva Ratya Avidhatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. So Krishna can be reached by these akinchana persons who are not trying to improve their material situation by Janma Aishwarya Shuta Shribir. They engage whatever they have in Krishna's service. In that way they are akinchana, or with no material possessions. And then in next verse, namo kinchana vittaya, that Krishna is the property. He becomes sold to such people who take full shelter in him. And in purport to that verse, namo kinchana vittaya, Prabhupada mentions that it's actually not possible for a spirit soul, for a living entity to renounce anything. unless he gets the higher thing. So then he gives this example that a student, when he joins university, he renounces his childish proclivities, this playing and running here and there. He just leaves that because he understands, I need to become serious to get this degree. So he renounces his childish proclivities. And another example given is that how a servant, he leaves one job, he renounces one job in order to get a higher job. And then Prabhupada says, similarly, a devotee renounces everything material to get something higher. And this devotional service is actually not intangible. This is very tangible. We can feel it. So example of six Goswamis is there, that Tyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandalpati. These Goswamis were very rich and aristocratic, but they left everything. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they were very big ministers. They had so much wealth. Raghunath Das Goswami was son of a big zamindar. So they had all these material possessions, but they left everything. But why did they leave them? Because they had a higher thing to achieve. Gopi Bhav Rasamritabdi Lahari Kallol Magnav Mohur Vande Rupa Sanatanav Raghu Yugav Shri Jeeva Gopal Kav. So they got this ocean of Gopi Bhav, this rasa, this nectar of Gopi Bhav, which is the highest. So they had that. So they could leave everything lower. So if we understand that and take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityanand Prabhu, Sri Sri Radha Vallabh, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, then we can very easily renounce these lower tastes and our entanglement in this material universe. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basically, he doesn't come alone. He comes in five features. Pancha Tattva. So this Pancha Tattva Pranam Mantra is there, where it says, Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So what are the five features of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So this Pancha Tattva, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as Bhakta Rupa. So he is the devotee, ideal devotee. He is acting as a devotee, although he is Lord himself. And Nityanand Prabhu is Bhakta Swarupa. He is the expansion of a devotee. He is also Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Advaita Acharya is Bhakta Avatar. He is the incarnation of a devotee. Gadadhar Pandit is Bhakta Shaktikam. Bhakta Shakti, the energy, spiritual potency of the Lord. And Srivas Pandit is he's the ideal devotee. He's the ideal marginal potency of Lord. So all these Pancha Tattva, they had different pastimes. So when we read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see this these personal exchanges not only among not only between Lord and the devotees, but also these different manifestations of Supreme Lord. So these three personalities, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityanand Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, they are all Vishnu Tattva. So when they exhibit their pastimes amongst them and when we hear about them, all our impersonal tendencies go away. And all our attraction to this material world goes away. So that is the higher taste. So when we get that higher taste, we can very easily renounce this universal form, our attraction to this universal form. So we need to know all these pastimes and develop this taste for these higher pastimes. We have to become very disgusted with the lower pastimes rather than relish them. So what is the test? How can we understand that we are advancing? We see that Prabhupada has given these four regulative principles. As we see, when we come to devotional service, we start associating with devotees, honoring prasadam. Very soon we can develop this distaste for non-vegetarian items. We can say, oh, I don't want, you know, an intoxication. But even if some thought comes, oh, I want to relish this non-vegetarian thing, but, you know, we are disgusted, no, this is so bad, it's like a dead body of an animal. So we have that disgust, and that comes very quickly for a devotee when he even, you know, starts taking prasad, associating with devotees, maybe chanting a little bit. So this disgust comes very quickly. But when we see this attraction for, you know, sense enjoyment with opposite gender, that's very hard one to get. We may externally stop doing that, but when the thought comes in mind, there still we enjoy that, you know. And so that's the test of an advanced devotee, that even when that thought comes, he's disgusted with that, you know, as Yamunacharya says. So Yamunacharya says, because I am relishing this higher taste, there's so many rasas of Krishna bhakti. So when this thought comes of sense enjoyment, I, you know, curl my lips with distaste. He's disgusted actually with that. So this is the test. If we can actually become disgusted with everything material, then we are eligible to go to the higher platform. So this takes practice. We have this sadhana bhakti. So we are practicing daily, you know, waking up daily, chanting Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, try to glorify Lord. So this all requires practice. And as we know, in it's like a developing muscles, you know, someone, a bodybuilder goes to a gym, he practices daily for years, and then he develops strong muscles. So same way, to develop this bhakti muscle, we need to practice every day. But people generally, everyone is exercising, but they are not exercising the, you know, they are not doing the right exercise. They are doing the wrong exercises. So there is one funny saying which I heard. It's very sarcastic. So there it says that some people only do these exercises. So what are these exercises which material people do? The jumping to conclusion. They like to jump just to the conclusion, okay, straight away. Oh yes, there is no God. I know what is happiness. I know what is enjoyment. You know, so I have my way of life. They have just jumped to that conclusion. This is their exercise. And they do, they have, you know, another exercise that they perform is sidestepping the responsibilities. They're not following, they're not performing their responsibility of what they have been awarded human life, and they're not making use of it. So this is sidestepping of responsibility. And they're pushing their luck that I will succeed, and that I will remain successful. It's just pushing the luck. And finally, when they are disturbed with different frustrations, they run down on their friends. So they just criticize everyone, even their friends, relatives. So these are the exercises these materialistic people are performing. But devotees, they understand that we have to come in line with the conclusions of Shastra, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And we have to understand that only good luck that we have is our surrender to the lotus feet of Lord, to this process of bhakti. And we need to develop this attitude to glorify everyone. If we don't glorify everyone, it's very hard to advance. If we criticize devotees, it's very hard to serve them. If we see faults in devotees, how can we serve them? That this devotee is useless, you know. So how I would, don't want to serve him, because he is useless, he has these many faults. And these karmis, they are also useless, demons. So I don't want to preach to them. So there is no possibility of advancement. So we need to actually glorify, no, these devotees are wonderful, they are practicing Krishna consciousness, I need to serve them. And these karmis, they are innocent, they don't know about Krishna. But if I tell them about Krishna, they will take it up very seriously. They are Krishna's parts, so we have to see good in everyone. And that is, then we can take our real responsibility. So our spiritual master is there to help us. He's like helping us to see what is spiritual and what is material. So that's the quality of a Paramhamsa. A Hamsa means the swan. He has a quality of separating milk from water, from a mixture of milk and water. So same way, an advanced devotee can see that, okay, this is valuable in this material world and this is not. So for an advanced spiritualist, this material world is very relishable. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. This is a statement by Prabodhananda Saraswati. So he says, Kevalyam Narkayate Tridashpur Akash Pushpayate. That this Kevalyam or this liberation, this merging into Brahma Jyoti, impersonal liberation, is like hell. Because if you merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, you lose your individuality. And when there is no individuality, there is no service. And that is the most fearful situation for a devotee, when he cannot serve Krishna. So that's why when Arjuna saw this universal form, he was so frightened that how will I be able to serve this form, as Keshava Prabhu was mentioning, that how will you be able to make a garland for the universal form, offer bhoga. So that's why he was frightened that I cannot serve this universal form. And in when you merge in Brahma Jyoti, then also you lose your identity, you cannot serve the Lord. So that's why it's Kevalyam Narkayate. And this heavenly planets, Prabhudanand Saraswati Maharaj says that this is like phantasmagoria, this is like flowers in the air, Akash Pushpayate. So this happiness of this material world is just imaginary. There is no happiness. Manasijam, Prahlad Maharaj says, Manasijam, this is in the mind that, oh, I will be able to enjoy that. You keep thinking that and whole life goes like that. Oh, no. If I get this, I will be able to enjoy. So this is just stays in mind. There is no enjoyment in this material world. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. There is no happiness in the place of misery by its nature. So a devotee understands that and he applies everything in service of Krishna. So here Prabhupada also says that all these manufactured goods should be for the propagation of Lord's glory. And then we can use everything in this material world for the service of Lord. So, just ending this discussion, in conclusion we can see that how we need to understand that Lord's original form of Shyam Sundar is very beautiful. And we need to search for that form in this material world, everywhere. Following in the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj, six Goswamis. So Parikshit Maharaj, his name, Parikshit means he's examiner, he's examining, oh, where is Krishna, is this person Krishna, like that. And six Goswamis, they're always searching for Krishna. He Radhe Vrajadevike Chalalite, He Nanda Sunakuta, where are you, O Radha Krishna? So they are searching, and all our acharyas, they are searching. So finally, I'll just end with this beautiful verse from 10th canto, where gopis, the greatest devotees of Lord Shri Krishna, they are saying that all of us, Vrajavasis, we are looking for you. So please appear in front of us. So this famous Gopi Geet, this is the first verse of that. Jayati te dikam janmana vraja shayata indira shashvadatrahi dayata dishtritam dikshutavakas tvaidritasavas tvam vichinvate. So there Gopis are praying that we are maintaining our lives only for you, for your service. So please, and we are searching for you, so please appear in front of us. So we need to have the same prayer that please to Krishna, that please reveal your original Shyam Sundar form and just withdraw your horrible universal form. I don't want to be attracted. It is not attractive. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Prabhupada himself has said that, and I heard in a lecture by His Holiness Shivram Maharaj. So that was Prabhupada's observation 40 years, 45 years back. Maharaj was saying, now maybe it's different. Maybe 90% are going to heavenly planets, 5% are coming back to earth, 5% are going back to Godhead. But it's not a rule that, he didn't give a rule, he just, this was his observation at that moment of time. It can change according to the consciousness of devotees. So if devotees become very serious, so you know, 90% can go back to Godhead, 10% can go to heavenly planets. So it, at that moment he saw that percentage, he commented. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, that's a very good question. When to renounce? So what Prabhupada and Krishna means in Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures when they say about renounce, renunciation, is that you renounce but not immaturely. So there is a point when you are ready to renounce. For example, there is a householder, he has two kids and a wife and a house. So he cannot renounce unless the kids are, you know, mature and they are supporting the household. So if he renounces at that time, it may be an immature renunciation and he may not be you know, very well situated. So that's why we need guidance. We need to have Shiksha Gurus, Diksha Gurus, so that we can know what is the right point, you know, when we can renounce. So just a personal example, when I came to Krishna consciousness and I, you know, read about Brahmacharya, and then I said, oh, there's an, I was thinking that, oh, you know, everyone has to get married and, you know, that's how everyone lives. But I read in Prabhupada books that, no, there are four classes and it is possible, you know, that it's not compulsory. So I was reading every day so much of Prabhupada's books, and at one stage, you know, I was studying and working part-time jobs. So then I thought, oh, so much time I'm wasting in this job. So I just left it. I left it there for reading more and, you know, doing more bhakti. So that time I was coming to temple and I knew a few devotees, Kripa Siddha Prabhu. So I told him, Prabhu, I left the job, you know, it's all material. And he said, no, you shouldn't leave, you know. See, he understood that I was doing very immaturely. I have loan to pay and living expenses and so study to complete. So he understood that was an immature renunciation. So later all the money finished and I had to get a job again. And you know, then eventually when time was right, then I could leave the job. So that's why we need to have guidance to understand at what stage of our life we have to renounce. Is that okay? Hare Krishna.
Just to add to that, generally I think Prabhupada was speaking about renunciation not as an external thing, but renouncing the desire for material enjoyment.
Yeah, that's there for all the classes, all the ashramas, but Prabhu is speaking about actual renouncing also, the external renouncing also, he's talking about that also. That's common to all devotees. We need to renounce our material desires and develop this this real bhava for Krishna. But externally we need to act according to the ashramas. So that's also very important to know.
That someone can, you know, renounce their position but not actually be renounced.
Yes, so that's... That is correct. So that's why when we have guidance, the senior devotees can see our attachments and they can point out that, you know, what would be the right position for us. So yes, you're right. Artificial renunciation is not required. Artificial and immature renunciation. We have to develop that genuine renunciation.
Yes.
So there's few stages parents object. One is you become a devotee, so still they can handle little bit. But if you become a brahmachari,
yes,
then it's like intolerable, worse than death. Even Lord Brahma,
yes,
he became very angry when the four Kumaras, they said, no, we will stay brahmacharis.
Yeah.
Brahma who is the who started our sampradaya, Brahma Madhava, he became angry. And from his anger, Lord Rudra came.
Yes.
So that's it's high, hard thing to digest for parents. But, you have a question, Prabhu? Yes.
Rudy, coming to the while I was being a student, we were serving, we want to get a degree.
Yes. Serving community is not serving Krishna. Like it is said, Manav Seva is not Madhav Seva. There is two things, two separate things. But when you serve Krishna, then you are serving everyone else.
So first serve Krishna.
Yeah, but you don't have to leave your study. So you can do bhakti while you are studying. So bhakti means these processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So you can chant Hare Krishna while you are studying, while you go to uni, you chant Hare Krishna, you hear, like you are here now, hearing about Krishna. So bhakti can be performed in any situation. That was Krishna's message to Arjun, that you are a soldier, you fight, you do your duty, but at the same time you think about me, you know. So that's, it's universal, bhakti is universal for everyone, students, professionals, housewives, sadhus, everyone. Any other question or comment? Yes, please.
In the purport, Prabhupada says that sacrifices generally offered with butter and grains. And then he says, human society must learn to offer sacrifices not only with clarified butter but also with other manufactured goods in the propagation of the Lord's glory. How does that satisfaction?
Yes, here Prabhupada mentions. No, as you understand, but just to elaborate on that, Prabhupada mentions this in italics, means very few purports he, you know, mentions. Very important, yes. So thanks for mentioning that. So what it means is that we use it for the propagation of Lord's glory. like this microphone is a material thing manufactured in this recent day and age, but we are use it to spread Lord's glory. So as in Sankirtan Yagya. So then, you know, we don't offer it in the sacrificial fire, but that's how we use it in sacrifice, by propagating Lord's glories. Is that okay? Do you want to add more on that? Yeah, for propagation of glory, Lord's glories, we use everything. Cars, aeroplanes, mobile phones. We call people on our mobiles that please come to temple, Janmashtami is coming. So like that, we use every single thing. And Gangeshwar Prabhu once, he was mentioning that anything material, new, these manufactured goods, whatever are produced, are actually for Lord's service. And I was discussing with Brahmakund Prabhu a couple of days back. So Prabhupada said about Ajagar Vritti, that yes, these scientists are producing so many nice things, but Ajagar Vritti is devotees come and use them, and use for the real purpose. So there's this Ajagar, or the big snake. What he does is, there's a mouse, he makes a hole and lives there. So this snake goes in there, eats the mouse, and lives in his house. You know, so same way these scientists, these materialists, they are making so many nice things, but at devotees, we come and we take there and use it for Lord's service. So we encourage them, yeah, keep making whatever you want, but we will use it for Krishna's service and in this sacrifice. Is that all right, Guru?
What about Prabhupada often says that, you know, that manufacturing is hellish.
So what I understand is, Prabhupada is not telling them that, okay, yes, set up these factories and build these things. He said that, you know, why are you making nut and bolts? We don't, when you are hungry, you know, you need grains rather than nut and bolts. But they won't understand, and they will produce it anyway. And in that case, we can use them, those things. So he doesn't tell them that, okay, encourage them to make, but they won't understand. And follow this process, simple process of bhakti, they would anyway try to produce those things. But when they produce, we use it for Krishna. Is that all right? Okay, I think we should end there. It's over 9 now. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Main thing in his consciousness is that's what he said.